With the coronavirus peaking in several places, Delmarva Public Radio's Steve Plotkin looks at current issues.
We are in week 15 of World War III, bioterrorism. There is talk of a unilateral, rolling ceasefire among the 50 combat zone commanders, governors. However, this involves 50 separate negotiations and certifications. A decade of job growth has been destroyed in 1 month, and there is rising impatience with a medically induced economic coma. It boils down to balancing the financial threat versus the medical threat. But there's a major glitch. There are very limited measurements available for data-driven decision process, and the high command is offering limited solutions to this problem. What we've learned. We've learned many things. One item is that we spent $685 billion on a defense budget and merely $8 billion on the CDC and only $2 billion on pandemic programs. So, for this war, are our monies being wisely spent? The WHO, the WHO benchmark, is to achieve 10% or lower of those tested to come back as positive. Korea has achieved an enviable 3% positives. For the U.S., the average is about 23% returning positive. Many assert that the endpoint has everything to do with a successful vaccine, and there are now dozens of worldwide programs underway. We learned that 35 jobs were lost for each diagnosed case of coronavirus, and that healthcare workers constitute 10 to 20% of the coronavirus caseload. They are revered as saviors of this generation. Good data. Data has been a core problem from the outset of the pandemic. First came the Chinese suppression of data, followed by a world-class lack of candor. Compounding this was the insidious nature of the coronavirus, which masks its own presence for the first 5 days or so. Testing. At this point, after 15 weeks of combat, the lack of widespread testing has become an obvious obstacle to gathering reliable data. There is a straight line between reliable testing of the population, good data, and an intelligent exit strategy. Testing really just asks two questions. Did you have it, or do you have it? Since the beginning, with no national testing plan, our default was a state-by-state testing strategy compounded by a basic lack of testing logistics. For example, Rhode Island has performed diagnostic tests on 3.7% of their population, while Kentucky has tested merely 0.7%. That infers that Rhode Island really knows what it's doing. Nationally, less than 1% of the 325 million citizens have been tested. After 15 weeks, a national testing strategy seems to be finally emerging at the federal level. Here's some shocking news. Experts now suspect that current testing is catching merely a fraction of the true infections. A new USC study infers that we may be catching merely 1 in 50 infections. That suggests a massive paradigm shift where, on the one hand, the disease is far less deadly than we think, but on the other hand, it is far more contagious than expected. I remember the concept of imaginary numbers from high school algebra, where we used a regular number and placed a small I next to it to signify it was not real, but imaginary. Just in the interest of full disclosure, wouldn't it be nice if our politicians used imaginary numbers when they speak of testing, face masks, and the such? This is Steve Plotkin.